And we are back with those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton in the studio.
The new studio sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Top 100 teachers, Jeff Smith, Kelly Stenzel are with us here this week. And we're talking about going somewhere and playing golf. You don't have to go to Scotland, although it is the birthplace. It's the cradle. It's where you go to pay homage to the game, I guess. Ireland has some pretty nifty places to play golf. Great Britain, you know, has some pretty nifty places to play golf. But so does the United States. Now, Kelly, you're in Florida. Jeff, you're in Florida half the year. This is not the time to go to Florida to play golf.
No, it's not. It's a little too warm down there.
But it might not be too shabby to go to Washington, go to Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, go up to Vancouver. I mean, I've got Banff on my bucket list. You guys ever play there?
No, but I've seen pictures.
But it's on my list too, 100%. And I was just, I was just out west. So I've had a really good summer. So after Scotland, we were out in Wyoming and Montana. So I taught in Jackson for a couple of weeks and then up to visit our friend Eric Johnson at the Yellowstone Club for 3 days and did some golf.
Did you really?
Yeah. Amazing place.
Okay. I'm officially jealous now. Yeah.
That takes.
We're going to get EJ on the show and he's going to tell us how beautiful the place is.
Oh, he's funny. You should. He is really funny.
Yeah.
We laugh. But he's loud. I love Eric, but I was doing wedges and he was doing full swing and he was, I don't know, 100 yards from me and he was so loud, but boy, is he funny and an amazing instructor. We had a ball.
That's great. But you get energetic and it just comes out.
He's funny.
That is just it.
Yeah.
But that is true that he's full of energy. I remember talking to him at a couple of the conferences, right? And when he's talking, he's got that commanding voice.
Yeah.
That's it.
Banff. Yeah, I'm dying to go to Banff. So the COVID summer, we were out west too. And we got out there, we were there for all of July. And then Florida was weird. So why go back to Florida? We had a rental car. So we went up through Montana and we have friends of ours who have a ranch in northern Montana. So we weren't that far from Banff, but the rental car company would not let me take the car over the border and return it up there. Unfortunately, I really am dying to go there. It just looks amazing. Like Banff and Lake Louise look amazing.
Yeah,
they do.
I used to play online golf. Lynx. I don't know if you ever dealt with the Lynx golf program that was on the PC, but there was an international group of us who played and I got to be number five in the world on computer golf. And Banff was one of the courses they had on the game. And ever since I played it on the computer, it was always like, man, I've got to go. It was a great game. Lynx 2000 and Covered Bridge was also one of the courses on the game.
In Southern Indiana, Covered Bridge?
Yeah, Fuzzy's course.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I wonder how they pulled that off.
They just paid him money. It was EA Games, man. They got a lot of bucks. And what we did is we used to get together once a year, anybody who could, and play. We'd meet somewhere in person and play. And it was great. Because you tell people the first time I met 32 good friends of mine that I had never met before. You know, and since Fuzzy's course was on there, I got kind of inebriated one night and I said, hey, next year y'all should come to Louisville and we'll play Covered Bridge. And they were all like, yeah. Oh, okay.
So did any of them show up?
They did. They showed up. It was great. And I had a great relationship with the mayor of the town here and with the Visitors Bureau and everybody. And I just started calling people and the mayor gave everybody a key to the city.
Wow. And the
Visitors Bureau gave everybody a sleeve of Titleist golf balls with the Louisville logo on it. I mean, they thought I was cool, you know?
I think what a great unifier golf is. One of our projects at 8 a.m. is the Bombers Club. And we just were filming up at the Quixote Club, which is a Nicklaus course in South Carolina. And so we had Kyle Berkshire there and a lot of the other Bomber long drivers there, and the members came out and the owners came out, and it was just like a really special event for the club. It was nice for us because we could film there.
Yeah.
But I mean, what a unifier golf is, really. It's pretty amazing.
It is indeed. And I mean, I just played last week in a fundraiser scramble for a sheriff who he's, you know, I guess people play in his scramble so that they can always show the receipts if they get stopped for speeding or something. But it was great. They had to do two flights, and they were completely booked in both flights. It's a fundraiser for him and a great way to have fun. And, you know, there were kids on teams. There were old guys like me on teams, and everybody was there having a good time. It was fun, you know.
Nice.
Works for businesses. It's great. South Carolina is another great place to play golf. I lived there for 3 years. I love South Carolina. Hilton Head, as you mentioned, Jeff. The Charleston area. I mean, the city courses in Charleston are well-maintained and very challenging. But they've got like Wild Dunes out on the Isle of Palms. They've got Patriots Point right there, just over whichever is the Cooper River, I believe, or maybe it's the Ashley. I can't believe which river is which. But right there where the Yorktown is parked.
That's the Cooper. Yeah. I was just there in the springtime. I did two golf schools there. I took off out of Florida, and I went to end of April and early May. I did two golf schools in Charleston, and it was an awful lot of fun. And I love that town.
Yeah.
So the thing you get to explore when you're there, you know, the local area, and you see all these things. And like Kelly just mentioned, golf's a great unifier, because in these golf schools, I was seeing people that were from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And they're all there for a common purpose. And within a very short amount of time, there are no barriers when they're golfers. Mm-hmm. There are no barriers whatsoever. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what your name is, how you speak, what color your skin is. It doesn't make any difference. Golf is a wonderful unifier.
Yep.
Well, don't you think part of that's just because you're so exposed? Because golf is so hard. Like, if you're not good at something, it's going to show up really quickly. And here you are, like, exposed to a weakness, and you got to kind of deal with that in front of people.
Yeah.
So I think you get a very authentic view of people very quickly. You know,
you can't pretend to be what you're not when you're on a golf course.
Right.
You know, and it all comes out in the wash, so to speak.
And that becomes, you know, a responsibility of ours as instructors. You know, if I've got a student who's in failure, which we're all in failure a lot with golf, mm-hmm. and maybe they're getting a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit embarrassed, that's my job to swoop in and save them. You know, I had an event we were hosting down here in Florida, and I had a very successful businessman who was out in the golf course, and he was really struggling to the point of starting to get really frustrated. So I grabbed him. We weren't that far from the range. I said, okay, you want to hop in my cart. We're going to go to the range. So I pulled him out of there. I took him to the range for 15 minutes, and I took him back.
Okay.
So I think that the students also know that we are there to kind of protect and save them in those situations after a period of time of too much failure.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's where real trust and improvement can really happen as well.
A little emergency patch jobs.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, they're just nothing but calming down and psychology sessions. I watched Kelly do that live in person a few years ago at the Top 100 Teacher Conference. We were doing some live lessons, and Kelly had a young girl, not young girl, but girl from the crowd in front of her. And she was quite nervous, and Kelly picked up on that right away and instantly went into calming bedside manner. And all of a sudden it took probably 30 seconds to a minute. And all of a sudden you could see the girl actually exhale. That was pretty interesting, but then she could perform, but you could see it, because that's something that we have to pick up on as teachers, is who's in front of us and what's their state of being. Because if we're aware of that, we can guide, help, they can walk with us down that road. And next thing you know, we can make it sound calming and easy for those who need that. And then there's other people who just need us to be energetic.
But it's nice to hear a teacher like Kelly actually admit that golf is hard, because golf looks so easy. You know, most people who don't know better will think, hey, there's nothing to this game. But then they get out there and they realize that Yeah, there's a lot to it, and I haven't the slightest idea what I'm doing. So the empathy that you guys have to show to get somebody to not talk themselves out of learning how to play golf is, I think, of paramount importance.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think that comes pretty easily. And I'm just a big, like, mechanics person. Like, if your grip is good, the ball will try to go to straight. If your posture is good, the ball will try to get in the way. Mm-hmm. So you can also occupy people with just good setups, and good motion usually comes from that.
Yeah.
Which, if they're occupied kind of mentally and physically, there's not enough time to be nervous either. You know, they've got things to do.
That's why a lot of people shy away from taking lessons. Or that's the excuse anyhow. I don't have time. We've got more time, you and me, and Kelly and Jeff, coming right back. We are those weekend golf guys. You need to hang out.